Welcome to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we begin a Christmas series titled, And His Name Shall Be. So here's today's message with Pastors Ray and Linda Noah.
Well, good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas to all of you who are here, and Merry Christmas to all of you who are watching online. You know, this is such a, well, it's really a strange year. This has been a very weird year.
It's been weird.
Very weird. And this is a strange December, because normally on this weekend and next, this place would be full. We would have 10 concerts, 10 to 15,000 people would come in and hear the gospel presentation through the Christmas story. We're not able to do that this year, but I am so excited about this Christmas Eve service that we're going to have.
Yeah,
it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be traditional, and the gospel will be preached. And so I'm encouraging all of you to be a part of that. But even more than that, I would encourage you to capture that video off of our social media, Portland Christian Center social media webpage, and share it with all of your friends.
Yeah, get the word out.
What if we had thousands upon thousands of people hearing the Christmas gospel this year? I think the Lord may be setting something up for us that's going to be spectacular. So I encourage you to help us out. We're going to be sending it out. In fact, I already have to all of my friends on social media, and I would encourage you to do that, and let's get the word out, and let's enjoy what God has given us this year. Let's enjoy making him famous throughout this month of the Christmas season.
Yeah, and it's not going to be normal for us, but we're doing everything we can, and we're really excited about some of the music that's come together and what God will
do. Absolutely. We're taking advantage of what we've been dealt, and I think God is doing something that we really don't even understand at this point. Now, also, let me give a shout out to our teams that went out yesterday for the great gingerbread house giveaway. They gave away 532 gingerbread houses, I think mostly to lower income families and kids. And I understand that the response was absolutely incredible.
And what fun.
How fun that was. And then part of that was there's an advertisement or an invitation on those gingerbread boxes for people to tune in on Christmas Eve. So they were doing that as well. And I guess this was just really a wonderful time with our teams, and people were so grateful for what had happened.
And we're not doing things as we regularly would do, but the other thing that happened yesterday, that all the Christmas gifts began to be gathered together for our Royal Family kids as well. So this place was alive yesterday.
Yeah.
We were social distancing, we had our masks on, but ministry was happening.
Yeah, we're really taking ministry out to the community during these,
really good.
These days.
And you know what else is really special about today is this is Marge Brown's 95th birthday today.
Wow. Let's give her a shout out.
Wow, that is just incredible. And Marge, I don't know if you're watching. I wish we could see you, and I wish we could hug you. Marge and her husband Jack ushered at these back doors for decades, and she's been a faithful attender, participant in the ministry of this church. And boy, I tell you what, we want to join with your family and all your friends and just really wish you a very happy, happy birthday. 95 years old, and if you guys know Marge, she is full of energy and zest and a beautiful woman, and we rise up along with your children and say that you are blessed today.
Amen. I talked to her this week, on Friday, I think it was, and I said, Marge, when you hit 100, we're going to throw you a parade, so get ready for that. So we're going to... A parade.
She might hide. She'd be shy.
No, we're going to put her at the front of that parade,
okay.
And we're going to celebrate those 100 years. So,
okay.
Well, we're beginning a new series today, an Advent series, and we're calling it, as you heard in the opening video, And His Name Shall Be, and we're going to walk through the different names that the prophet Isaiah listed out for Jesus. So I want to begin this message today by having you imagine being dropped into an uncharted jungle, and you were given the choice of three different tools. You had to choose one of three different tools to help you to find your way out: a map, a compass, or a personal guide. You're in an uncharted jungle. You're given one of these three tools. What would you choose? Well, I think most people, if they were wise, would choose the personal guide. The personal guide. Most people would want an experienced guide to lead them out of the jungle. And I have learned the wisdom of that choice on several occasions the hard way. I remember back years ago, our kids were still at home, and we had driven from Denver, where we lived at the time, down to the Dallas-Fort Worth area to visit Linda's family for Thanksgiving. And then a part of that trip, we were going to go on to the southeast, down to College Station to visit with some friends. And so we got in our car, and we first of all had to drive south to Waco. And then from Waco, we needed to go southeast to College Station. Well, as we hit Waco, there's a beltline or beltway around the city. And as I was slingshotting us around Waco, I didn't go south. I drove west. And I didn't realize it. And it was about 3 hours later I realized, why is the sun setting in front of me? If I'm going south, it should be behind me. And I realized I had made a big mistake. Now, I had a compass built into my car. In fact, it was in the rear view mirror telling me I was going west instead of south. I didn't pay attention to it. We had a map. I saw road signs. What I really needed was a personal guide. Other than Linda, who was sleeping, she does that really well.
No, I was in the car, but when I suggested that maybe we need to check directions, he was a stereotypical, not meaning to be stereotypical, but...
Well, who asked
finish
you?
Your
who
story.
Asked you anyway?
Okay, yeah.
Well, this is why the Israelites wandered for 40 years through the wilderness,
oh,
right?
This
because
is going downhill
Moses
bad.
Wouldn't ask his wife, so yeah. Apparently. Anyway, I didn't have a personal guide other than Linda. She wasn't talking to me at the time. And so we had to backtrack another 3 hours, and we arrived in College Station 6 hours after we were expected to be there. I needed a personal guide.
You ever, and still married.
And still married.
Yeah.
Not including tomorrow.
Yeah.
So do you ever wish you had a personal guide for life? Do you ever wish you had this experienced guide to personally guide you through these times? And don't we need that kind of guidance in these chaotic times, confusing times in which we live? I mean, you think about 2020. Most of you would like to not think about 2020 anymore. Some people just wish it was over. Let's get on with a new year. But think about what we've been through in the last 10 months. We've been through the pandemic restrictions. We've been through racial tensions and cultural upheaval. And we've endured a season of absolute strife in our politics. And as a result of that, a lot of people, not everyone, but most people that I know are anxious. Maybe they're angry. They're confused. They're looking for wisdom, how to do life, looking for wisdom to do life from any place, from anyone. I mean, more people are in counseling today than ever before. More people are medicated today than ever before, or should be. Most people are trying all kinds of things to get help and not necessarily getting better. Life coaches are a dime a dozen. So are ministry coaches, by the way. People that have pastors who have left the ministry because they didn't like it, now telling me how to love the ministry. They're all over the place. For $3.99 a minute, literally for $3.99 a minute, you can have your own certified psychic. I mean, certified? Who in the world certifies psychics? I think they're certifiable. But Linda, you know, people are really desperate for some wisdom. They're looking for wisdom from somewhere. And they just, whatever they're trying, they just can't seem to erase their worries, their fears, or their concerns.
Yeah. So today we're going to look at the prophet Isaiah. And I love this passage. And it's one of my favorites. And it's quoted more in the New Testament than any other book, I believe, in the Bible. And it was written during a time that Israel's military was expanding in every way. The economy was growing. Culture was progressing. But Isaiah writes that it was the darkest time of all. And while on the surface, everything looked that it was bright and that things were going well, it wasn't a good time. It was a dark time. And yet in this dark time and in this darkness, Isaiah prophesied about the coming Messiah. And I want you to turn to Isaiah 9 and look at this passage with me. It's very familiar to us. We often use it during the Christmas time, Isaiah 9, 2, and then also verses 6 and 7. And Isaiah describes the Messiah this way and describes the times this way. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. God Almighty is determined to do all of this. I want you to focus on verse 6. It's one of my favorites, and I speak it often. It just settles my soul and gives me peace. And we're going to really focus our attention starting today all the way through Christmas on these names of Jesus, the four names of Jesus, that being the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now, these names, they just remind us that in these uncertain times, and the uncertain times then, that Jesus can answer your toughest questions, that he can meet your deepest need, yeah. and that he can calm your worst fear. Mm. Isn't that powerful to think about that? So let's begin with the first name today. We're going to start Wonderful Counselor and start with that. So ever consider what that might mean for you personally. Mm. What does it mean to have a wonderful counselor? And I know if you and I were having marital troubles and challenges, that we would want to find a counselor that had certain qualities and mm-hmm. certain characteristics. Mm-hmm. And if you were going through, or we were going through depression or anxiety, or we had addictions that we were dealing with and struggling with, we would really want to find a qualified counselor. So what qualifies Jesus to be not just counselor, but our wonderful counselor?
Well, so first of all, Jesus listens to us empathetically. I mean, when you want to find a good counselor, you're gonna search for someone who really knows how to listen and listen empathetically. And that means this about Jesus, that he listens carefully and he cares deeply.
Hmm.
He listens carefully. Mm-hmm. And he cares deeply about what you're going through. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone to someone for emotional support and they just didn't have a clue what you were going through? They didn't have a clue. They didn't have empathy for you. I remember when our girls were still at home as they were getting older, they were of dating age, and they would come to me concerning issues that they were having with guys. And I would go, what are you coming to me for? Go ask your mother. I mean, I just didn't understand what they were going through. I didn't have issues with guys or with girls. My only issue with girls when I was a teenager was I had too many of them that wanted to date me. So I said, I would say, go
talk. That's an exaggeration,
that
but
is.
Go ahead.
Go talk to your mother. Go talk to your mother. And so they would, but they would still come to me even after that. They would, and I would say the same thing. Go talk to your mother. Well, what about Jesus? Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. I love this passage. It describes him this way. This high priest understands our weaknesses. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced every temptation that we do, yet he was without sin. And so let's come boldly to God's gracious throne to receive his mercy and find his grace to help us in our time of need. He's been there, he's experienced that. He didn't give in to anything, but he knows everything that we're going through and he understands. So therefore, we can come before him and find a person, find a Lord, a Messiah, a counselor who is gracious and merciful to us. And that should give us boldness in approaching his throne of grace. Many years ago now, there was an amazing Christian writer who was a pastor. His name was Joseph Bailey. Joe Bailey and his wife, over the course of several years, lost three of their children to death. I mean, I can't even imagine losing one child or one grandchild to death, but they lost three of their children. And he wrote a book called The Last Thing We Talked About. And in it, he talked about losing one of his sons. And this is what he says. He says, I was sitting there just torn by grief. Someone came and they talked with me of God's dealings, of why it happened, of hope beyond their grave. He talked constantly of things that I already knew were true. I was unmoved, except a wish that he would just go away. Then another came and sat beside me. He didn't talk. He didn't ask questions. He just sat there for an hour or more. He listened when I said something and he answered briefly. He prayed simply before he left. I was moved. I was comforted. I hated to see him go. Mm. Now, there's a person who was empathetic in his listening of this man's pain. You know, it's true, to paraphrase William Shakespeare, they ignore scars who never felt a wound. If you've never gone through something, it's going to be very hard to relate to someone who's going through something. But Jesus has the scars, doesn't he? He has the scars in his hands, in his feet, in his side. And his scars prove that he identifies with your pain, which is why you can be confident that he listens carefully and he cares deeply about what you care about. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this, So cast all of your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Cast your cares to him. He cares for you. Turn to him. And as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he will be the God of all comfort to you. I love what Isaiah 49:13 says. Shout for joy, for he comforts his people. He comforts his people and has compassion on their afflictions. My friends, some of you, especially what you're going through right now, you need to hear this prophetic reminder today from about your wonderful counselor. Jesus hears, he hears you, and he cares deeply for you.
You know, and it's like, and I don't mean this to be sacrilegious in any way, but it's just like he's your Abba Father. Mm-hmm. You're going through something today, you can crawl up into his lap, and he holds you. That's empathetic. He takes on your cares and your concerns and your worries. Well, he doesn't just listen empathetically, if that was enough, but he also speaks truthfully. Yeah. He is the God of truth. And, you know, sometimes people don't speak truth. Sometimes they hold their punches. And at the same time, some of those old people can, same people can speak truth so bluntly that it causes hurt and it causes pain. And so there is a balance there. You see, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. That's right. And so that's even with this verse and talking and starting with just how much Jesus cares for you, but he is also the God of truth. John 1:14 says that the very essence of his nature, he is full of grace, he's full of empathy and truth.
Yeah.
It is this grace and truth blend that we need to guide us in life, and we can count on him. And Jesus says that the Spirit's role in you, he says, I'll send the Comforter, the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. You know, the world is saying right now that we can't know what is true, that we can't have confidence in what is true. And this passage tells us, in understanding who Jesus is, we can know the truth. You know, the world is full of anxiety, but Jesus, he is truth.
Yeah, I think it's full of anxiety primarily because we don't stand on truth. And that's why life is so unstable. And when life is so unstable, we're going to be anxious. Mm-hmm. We're going to be anxiety-ridden. Mm-hmm. We're going to be angry.
And truth is there for you. Yeah. The Holy Spirit says it's there for you. Mm-hmm. If you will seek it, if you will listen to it, and then once you hear it, if you will obey it. So there's several ways that you can know truth and really know that it's very clearly God-given truth. First of all, you're going to know I'm going to say this, God's word.
Amen.
Psalms 119, 105, and then also verse 165 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. His light can show you the way that you can walk sure-footed as you invest in his word. Psalms 119, 165 says, great peace have those who love your law. And I love the last half. Nothing can make them stumble. That is so powerful. Another verse. Jesus says, if you abide in me and I will abide in you, will bear much fruit. You'll know where to go. You'll thrive. You will have a full and an abundant life. And so for many of us, we may not remember what we ate last week. And so I couldn't tell you what I ate last week, but I just know it edified my soul. Right. And as you read God's word, you might say, it's difficult to understand or I don't get it all. But I'm telling you, as you feed your soul good nutrition, it will strengthen you and it will be a light to your path. Mm-hmm. Another way that we can know the truth is God's word would be the prompting of the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16, Romans 8, 26 through 27. I would invite you, some of the verses that I'm naming here, that you would literally write them down this week and begin to memorize them and make them a part of what you just envelop your mind with. John 14, 16 says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. God's name is Emmanuel, God with us. He is as close to you as the air that you breathe through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. How powerful is that? And this verse says he will give you an advocate. He will give you an helper. You don't walk alone.
That's right.
He can give you His power and His goodness and His grace and His truth. And then Romans 8:26-27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes. Wow, wow, wow. The Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God.
Oh, that's powerful.
That is powerful. And I don't know about you, but I need that power in me today as we look at some of the confusing things and uncertain things in our world.
Yeah.
And then finally, the other, not finally, point number three. Don't get excited that I'm going to give you some time back again. The wisdom of leaders.
And that's so we're finding these are ways that we can know the truth.
Right, right. So God's word, the Holy Spirit, and then the wisdom of spiritual leaders. So Proverbs 11:14 and Hebrews 13:17. Proverbs 11:14 says this: "For lack of guidance, a nation fails, but victory is won through many advisors." Who are the leaders in your life, particularly the spiritual leaders? You know, we've been given that mantle of responsibility, and honestly, it's a heavy mantle responsibility when you join the pastoral staff of this team, of any church, because we are leaders and we have to stand before God and hold account of that. But if you're a father or a mother or a grandfather, you're a spiritual leader in your home. And so that's an area of great responsibility. So steward that well. And we have been given as spiritual leaders to lift the people that we have responsibility for. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Have confidence in your leaders." And I tell you, if you don't have confidence in your leaders, I'll tell you this about us. Pray for us, because we seek God's face to know His will and the steps to take, especially now in unprecedented times. We have no roadmap for some of the things that we're going to. We're just doing the best that we can right now with God's help. Mm-hmm. But it says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Yeah. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you."
Right.
And then finally, how you know God's truth would be the affirmation of Christian friends. Proverbs 12:26. "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." Mm. Moms and dads, this is why you can instruct your children to choose their friends wisely. And I would say us as adults, we need to choose our friends wisely. You know, my mom gave me a picture box at some point in my life, and I was looking through the pictures, and you know the pictures that you have of first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, and I was looking at some of those photos, and you know, I looked pretty similar throughout the years, growing up and maturing, and in ninth grade, I had a kind of a real different look. And I said to my mom, what's with ninth grade? And she says, "Oh, that was the year you were Heidi." Well, Heidi was my best friend that year. And what happened is, as I was hanging out with her, shamefully, I was becoming like her. And I began to look like her and act like her. So choosing your friends and who you hang out with is very, very important. Who you're listening to, the news, the books you read, all those things, because they are influencers in your life. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Walk with the wise.
Yeah.
So God's word, the Holy Spirit, your leaders, spiritual leaders, and your friends can help guide you in truth.
Yeah. So He listens empathetically. He does speak truth to us. And then finally, Jesus empowers us generously. He empowers us generously. I love what Psalm 25 verse 9 says. He says, "He guides the humble in what is right, and He teaches them His way." And then Isaiah 41:10 adds, "So don't be afraid or discouraged, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." So what are those verses saying? Well, first of all, He personally directs us. Jesus, our wonderful counselor, will personally direct us. He guides those who live before Him in humility to make right decisions. And then He practically shows. He shows us, He instructs us to take right paths. I think of Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him." And what will He do? He will direct your paths. He will make sure that we are making right decisions and taking right paths. And then He empowers, He powerfully equips. He empowers those who humble themselves before him, who follow him to live triumphantly. He empowers us to live triumphantly. You know, some counselors are really good at listening. They're empathetic. They're full of empathy. Some may be accurate in telling you this straight up about your life. They can speak truth, and sometimes they can speak it very bluntly. But at the end of the day, I want someone who will actually guide, show, and equip me to live in victory. I don't want to be in counseling forever, you know, and not get better. I want someone who can actually empower me in a practical way to live the kind of life that God has called me to live in victory. And you know, if you look at the people who follow Jesus in history, in the Bible, and throughout history, that's what you see. That he made a practical difference in their lives, a practical difference in the way that they live. And he leads them to live and to walk in victory.
You know, I remember a time in our ministry that we were leading this house church. It was a small group, but it was growing and it was thriving. And I was working a secular job, and I had a coworker that was, I would say, kind of the receptionist for my department, and she sat out in front of me, and I engaged her quite often during the day, and she was really suffering. She was really struggling, and she was dark. She was depressed. Her countenance was down, and she had some addictions, and she had this practice. She wasn't a believer in any way, but she had this belief that you went on a date, and how you ended that date is you invited the young man into your home and you slept with him. And so she also ended up with a sexually transmitted disease. And I remember when she came into me and she was just sobbing because she'd come to her wit's end. And I said, would you come to our small group? And so she said, I would. And it was held in a home, and there was about 30 people. It was probably bigger than it should have been for being a small group. And that night, she kind of sat in the outskirts and in the back, and she didn't really engage. She was pretty quiet. She kept her head down until it came to the point where you, Ray, asked if anybody wanted to believe in Jesus. And she looked up, and she raised her hand, and then she said, I do. And so she moved into the center of our circle, and we all prayed for her. The next day, she came back to work, and she was smiling from ear to ear. And then a few days passed, and she came up to me and said, Linda, I've dumped all my medication down the toilet. And I'm like, wait, what? You know, kind of, because I would not have given her that counsel to do it that way. She goes, no, I believe God has healed me. And so I said, well, go see your doctor and just confirm where you are and what you're doing. And so she did, and she told her physician that she had dumped all her medication down the toilet. And he said to her, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it because it's working. And yeah, she had gone enough time that the drugs had been out of her system and out of her body. And so then she also shared the same thing to her therapist. And I'm telling you, I kid you not, I've never seen, have you ever seen butterflies and then they, I mean, caterpillars, and then they watch them explode into a butterfly after they've been in this cocoon? That's what I saw with my good friend. And it's like something happened. I mean, just the joy of the Lord was on her face. And I don't say this lightly, but even her hair had some life to it. And she was so lovely. And people would come by the front of our department or desk and go, man, you are looking so good. And she said, oh, thank you. And then I remember one morning, someone came up to me and said, man, what is going on in your life? And she said, I have a new man in my life. And she turned and winked at me. And she said to this person, would you like to go to lunch? And then she went to lunch and just started day after day sharing Jesus to people. And it was just an incredible, incredible transformation. You know, today she's in ministry with her husband and her children and her family. What an incredible proof of a wonderful counselor. Yeah. It changes lives. So Jesus isn't just empathetic, but he is that. Jesus isn't just gracefully truthful, but he is that. He is an empowering counselor who still works today in incredible, practical ways, doing practical miracles, and you can trust his counsel. Isn't that incredible to think about that? He is the answer. He is the answer to every challenge that you face today. He is the answer to every single thing that concerns you today. Yeah. He is what you need. He is yours and he is mine. Mm. Wonderful counselor.
Yeah, and what a gift that is.
Yeah.
What a gift, a wonderful counselor Jesus is to us. So the question then is, how do you tap into that reservoir of comfort and truth and power? I mean, it's one thing to talk about it, but how do you tap into it for your own life? Again, we ask the question, how do you make this wonderful counselor practical, not just theological, but practical to your life? Well, I'm going to give you three simple steps to tap into his divine wisdom for your life. First of all, ask for it boldly. Mm. Ask for it boldly. Maybe you've not gotten what you need from your wonderful counselor for the simple reason that you haven't asked him. Sometimes people just don't ask. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. So ask for it boldly. Today, ask for it boldly. Hebrews 4 says, come before his throne boldly to find grace and mercy to help you in your time of need. So first of all, ask for it boldly. Secondly, look for it expectantly. James 1:5-6 says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. He doesn't say to you, look, you didn't follow my advice the last time, so just go away, right? No, he doesn't find fault. He gives generously when we ask him for the wisdom that we need. And it will be given to you, James says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Mm. Oh, I've tried this before and nothing happened, so maybe I won't do it. Or maybe nothing will happen again. No, you look for it expectantly, and that's part of the equation of receiving from the Lord. And then thirdly, finally, trust him completely. Just lean into him, trust him completely. Jesus wants you to be careful about placing your trust and your confidence in any other source, but without going to him first. I mean, we got to be really careful about that, especially in this day and age where there's so many different sources of information coming to us and people are confused. Jesus warns us not to let that be the case. We need to come to him first of all and ask for his wisdom. We need to ask early and often Jesus for his wisdom, because he wants to give it to us. I love what Jesus said. This is from a different translation, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He said, if you're tired out, worn out, or burned out, just come to me and I will show you the unforced rhythms of my grace and you will recover your life. Would you like to recover your life? Jesus wants to help you to recover your life today. You need to come to him. He is your wonderful counselor. So put your full trust in him. I love the story. This is from our history, not our personal, but our American history, of a pioneer who was making his way west when he came to the mighty Mississippi River and there was no bridge. The path that he was taking, there was no bridge across the river. It was the dead of winter. The river was frozen over with ice and it was getting late and he desperately needed to get to the other side to his destination or he might risk freezing to death. But could he trust the ice to hold his weight? He had to get across the other side, but would the ice hold him up? And so he began to inch across the river on his hands and his knees, thinking that if he evenly distributed his weight, perhaps the ice would hold him up. And so he was about halfway across when he heard singing from behind him, and the singing grew louder and louder and louder, and suddenly a man whizzed by him pulling a horse-drawn cart fully loaded with coal. The man went merrily on his way and leaving this guy on his hands and knees inching across the ice. There was this guy on his hands and his knees, fearful that it wouldn't hold him up. And there goes this guy happily crossing that same ice. Let me ask you this. Are you timidly creeping through life on God's promises? Are you timidly creeping across God's promises, unsure that he can handle the weight of your needs and your concerns? Listen to what he says to you. This is beautiful from Psalm chapter 32, verse 8. Listen to this. He says, I will guide you along the best path for your life, and I will watch over your progress. Wow, what a promise. So this morning, whether you're here or you're watching, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I say, accept the gift. He is your wonderful counselor. He'll listen to you. He'll guide you. He will empower you for whatever you need in your life. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here watching, just bow your heads. And this is an opportunity for you to come to the counselor, the wonderful counselor, and say, I need your wisdom. I need your truth. I need to know that you care for me, and I need you to empower me to move beyond this situation in life that I'm in right now. And if that's you, if you're here in the sanctuary, would you lift your hand up? I want to pray for you right now for the wisdom of the wonderful counselor. Just lift your hand up and acknowledge to him by faith, I'm going to receive from you today. Just lift your hand up. And then if you're out there in TV land watching this, would you just turn your palms upward to the Lord and say, Jesus, I'm going to give my life to you today, and I'm going to receive your wise counsel for me that will empower me to live the way you want me to live. Just do that right now. Let's pray. So Jesus, we just lift our hearts to you. We give our lives to you right now. And we would pray that you would come to us as the gift of Christmas, and you would be our wonderful counselor. God, we can't do this on our own. We're living in anxiety. We're living in confusion. We're trying all different kinds of things, and we're not getting better. But you promised that when we come to you, you will show us the best path for our lives, and you will watch over our progress each step of the way. So God, I pray that in our hearts right now, we would have that sense of affirmation, that the Holy Spirit would bring his comfort to us right now, comforting us with the promise that you made to us, that you will be for us our wonderful counselor. And so we accept this. We ask for it boldly, and we accept it expectantly by faith. And we pray this in the name of our wonderful counselor, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. And amen. Now, if you're here in the sanctuary today, our prayer team is going to be over to the side, and you want special prayer, please make your way over there as we dismiss, and they will pray with you. If you're watching online today, there will be a place for you to interact with those that are watching over the prayer room, and please do that. We want to be able to connect with you and pray with you, and let us know what God is doing in your life or what you need, and we will be praying for you this week. And so we want to say to all of you here at Portland Christian Center and watching online, may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May he watch over your path. May he take responsibility for every step that you take, and may he be for you your wonderful counselor. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. God bless. Amen. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you would like to hear more teachings or find out more information about our church, please visit pcctoday.com.